good morning, Shukayach, for coming. Tavorin, it's good to see everyone. Of course, the Yantav of Shavuos is this coming week, and if I wanted to discuss, take the opportunity to discuss Halakas Neiros Shabbos, Halakas Neiros Yantav, and perhaps some of the differences that exist between them. So the mitzvah of Halakas Neiros Shabbos is found in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos over here on the Chavhei Mebeis, where the Mishnah tells, the Gemara tells us Halakas Neir B'Shabbos Faivo. Lighting Halakas Neiros for Shabbos is an obligation. So, but what kind of obligation is it, and what is the source for this obligation? So the Rambam tells us that there are four mitzvahs with regards to Shabbos. We have two that are midiraisa, and two that are midirabbanan. The two that are midiraisa, of course, are found in the Aseres Hadibros, that of Zachar's Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosh, Shabbos Yom HaShabbos L'Kadoshoy. And the two that are midirabbanan are found in the Pasuk in Sefer Yeshayahu, V'karasa L'Shabbos Oineg V'Kadosh Hashem Mechubad. That I called Shabbos a delight to honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam is telling us, and the Gemara understands, and Gemara Masech the Shabbos and Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, that there are two other mitzvahs on Shabbos, that of Kavod and that of Oineg. So where does the mitzvah of lighting Halakas Neiros Shabbos emanate from? It's not from Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadoshoy, that's Kiddush. Shamar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadoshoy refers to abstaining from Malacha. What then is the source for Halakas Neiros Shabbos? So Rashi writes in the Gemara, it's because of Kavod Shabbos, to honor Shabbos. Tosfos writes, and that very same Gemara, that it's because of Oineg Shabbos, to enjoying Shabbos. What is the difference between Kavod Shabbos and Oineg Shabbos? So the Gra tells us over here, Ois Dalin, that Kavod Shabbos refers to those things, and it's apparent in the language of the Rambam, the Gemara is throughout Shas, that Kavod Shabbos refers to things that we do on Friday in preparation for Shabbos. That's Kavod Shabbos. Enjoying Shabbos, on the day of Shabbos itself, that's Oineg Shabbos. Those are two separate notions. The first is Kavod Shabbos, preparing for Shabbos, and the second is Oineg Shabbos, enjoying items or enjoying the day of Shabbos.
Well, everybody eats the soup, he says, the Kavod Shabbos.
Right, so it's really a mistake. I don't want to get brisker with people at the Shabbos meal. People say the Kavod Shabbos cut is really a mistake. It really is Oineg Shabbos. I know a guy who, I know a person who every time he hears somebody do that, L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh, he tells him, by the way, Zalzvisin, it's really Oineg Shabbos.
Really?
Yes, based on this groin.
You cannot do
Kavod
Shabbos on Shabbos?
No.
Put on a brand new suit on Shabbos?
It's Oineg Shabbos.
Yeah, but you didn't prepare it. It's in the closet.
If you didn't prepare it, right, then it would be only Oineg and not Kavod. If you prepared it, even if you didn't wear it, it would be Kavod and not Oineg. Correct. So where does this, it seems to be a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, where does the mitzvah of Halakas Neiros Shabbos emanate from? Is it a mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, to prepare the candles in preparation for Shabbos, or to enjoy the light on Shabbos? So the Rambam seems to contradict himself. The Rambam Perek Lamed Hilchos Shabbos writes, Sarach Lesakim Beis Omiba Oid Yoim, and the underlined part, Mipnei Kavod HaShabbos. You have to prepare your house and get everything ready in preparation for Shabbos via Ner Doluk. And one of the obligations included under the umbrella of Kavod Shabbos is making sure that there are Neros, there'll be candles burning on Shabbos. The Rambam, though, in Perek Hay of Hilchos Shabbos writes that this is included in Oineg Shabbos. Umadakas Haner Shezeh Bechlau Oineg Shabbos. See, Achrayim asks a contradiction in the Rambam. Is it Kavod or is it Oineg? So the Brisker Rav explains that for the Rambam it seems to be that it's both. It is both Kavod Shabbos, there's a mitzvah to prepare the candles in preparation for Shabbos, and then there's a mitzvah of Oineg Shabbos to enjoy the candles on Shabbos. And the Stipler in his Sefer Kilas Yaakov on Masechta Shabbos perhaps bring a source for this from the Gemara that it's in fact both. It is both Kavod Shabbos as well as Oineg Shabbos. Because the Gemara tells us over here, Masechta Shabbos, that if a person is an Oni, and he only has enough money to buy either Neiros Shabbos and Neiros Chanukah, so Amar Rava Pshitali Ner Beisav in Ner Chanukah Ner Beisai Odif. Better that he buy candles for Shabbos than to buy candles for Neiros Chanukah, because candles for Shabbos are Shalom Beisai. They allow a person to have Shalom in his house, not because of some supernatural principle, but simply because people won't trip over each other. Rashi writes, Shebnei Beisam Itzdaron Leishet B'choshech, to sit in utter darkness is not going to lead to Shalom Bayis. Better that there be light around. So too the Gemara says, if you only have enough money to buy candles for Shabbos or wine for Kiddush. Again, that the Neir Shabbos take precedence, Mishum Shalom Beisa. So it says the stipe, well, this implies that the purpose of the mitzvah, Lokas Neir Shabbos, is in order to enjoy the day of Shabbos, that it should be, or the night of Shabbos, it should be enjoyable, rather than being a person living in difficulty, in darkness. So it sounds like it's a mitzvah of Einik Shabbos to enjoy the day of Shabbos. However, at the same time, and the Gemara tells us that the bitu de Rav Yosef having ma'achro madlakasla, she would light at the last minute, right before the Shkia. It doesn't mean she lit after the Shkia, that would be Chilul Shabbos. She lit right before the Shkia. So if Yosef told her, what are you lighting so early? You know, he said, when Klal Yisrael was traveling in the Midbar, and we had a cloud that accompanied us during the day, and a fire that accompanied us at night, the fire came early, you know, before the Shkia, he said, the fire came earlier. Because in order to make sure that it would provide Klal Yisrael with light, even once it already started to get dark. So he told her, why don't you already start lighting when it's starting to get dark? So she said, fine, you know what, in order to solve the problem, I'll light already earlier on in the day. Savar lak duma. So Amalah Husaba Tanina, we learned in a brayse, you cannot light too early, and you should not light too late. Here too late doesn't mean on Shabbos, here too late means too close to the Shkia. So why shouldn't you light too early? So Rashi explains, Minkara Shehishal Shabbos. It's not obvious that you're doing so in preparation for Shabbos. So it says the stipler, it sounds like from here that it has to be Nikar on Friday, it has to be recognizable on Friday that you're lighting for Shabbos. That implies that it's not a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos only to enjoy the candles on Shabbos so people shouldn't stumble or trip over one another, but rather it's a mitzvah to prepare the candles in advance that it be recognizable, that it be obvious that you're doing so in preparation for Shabbos. It's also covered Shabbos. So Oneg Shabbos as well as covered Shabbos. The truth of the matter is that Gemara Masechta Shabbos that you're not allowed to light, you cannot be yoitz with a candle that was lit too early, is in fact subject to a machlekes rishonim. Because Taisus writes over here in Masechta Shabbos of Chavdal Mbeis, actually has a debate within the rishonim whether you make a bracha on Hadlokas Neir Shabbos, which we'll get back to in a second. But Taisus, in the midst of that discussion, says that if a person has, quotes one opinion, that if a person has a candle or lights that were burning in the home earlier on in the day of Friday, not for the purposes of Shabbos, or Hadlokas Neiros, and then comes Shabbos, says Taisus, he could be yoytzeh with those candles that were lit in the middle of the day on Friday, even though they were lit for a different purpose, he could be yoytzeh in the midst of Hadlokas Neiros Shabbos with those candles. You don't have to put it out and light it again or light a different candle. You can be yoytze with those candles that were already lit. So Taisus then quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who disagrees. He says, you cannot be yoytze with candles that were lit in the middle of the day. You have to put it out and light the candle again or light a different candle. Kedamaleya Husaba, like the old man told the daughter of Rabbi Yosef, you cannot light it in the middle of the day, Chatzos Hayom, already light Hadlokas Neir Shabbos, because it's not obvious that you're lighting it for the purposes of Shabbos. So he told her you have to put it out and light another one. So the first opinion in Taisus felt that was only Lechatchila. But b'di'eved, or if it was already lit, you could be yoytze with a candle that was already lit, even though it wasn't for the purpose of Shabbos. And the raya is because the old man told the daughter of Yosef, don't light too late. Lighting too late doesn't mean on Shabbos. Lighting on Shabbos is called Chilul Shabbos. It's not a piece of advice that the old man would give her. He was telling her, don't light at the last minute. But that's advice. That was not a halachic statement. So if that's the case, then perhaps what he told her also, don't light too early, was only Eitz HaTayva, that it should be recognized when you're lighting for Shabbos, but not an obligation. So that's why Taisus, in the first opinion, held you could be yoytze with a candle that's lit in the middle of the day, even though it's not recognizable, they do literally cover Shabbos. So the Beis Halevi, in one of his tshuvas, explains that this Machlekes HaRishonim seems to hinge upon that issue that we brought up before. What is the nature of the obligation to light Hadlokas Neir Shabbos? The opinion of Rabbeinu Tam is that it's not only to enjoy the candles on Shabbos, but also to light it, L'Kovet Shabbos, to light it before Shabbos in preparation for Shabbos. So therefore, you cannot be yoytze with a candle that was lit in the middle of the day for a different purpose. However, the first opinion in Taisvah seems to be of the opinion that it's just Oynik Shabbos. There is no obligation to prepare the candles on Friday in preparation for Shabbos. So even if the candle was lit for a different purpose, that happens to be the light in the home on Friday, if it continues to burn throughout Shabbos, it can be yoytze Lukas Neiros Shabbos with that, because there's only an obligation of Oynik Shabbos to enjoy it on Shabbos itself.
Shabbos, we also cover Shabbos by definition.
If you prepared it on Friday.
Right.
Correct. If you didn't,
so every Onik Shabbos is covered Shabbos.
Almost.
Not always. Yeah. Not in this case.
Baking children.
Baking children, correct. For sure. But what about having a candle that's being burned for a different reason?
You have to light it before Shabbos.
Okay, so you eat Thursday night cholent, assuming you didn't make it for Shabbos. You have it because you want to have Thursday night cholent. Oh, we have leftovers then on Shabbos. Leftover cholent. So that would be einig Shabbos, not covered Shabbos. So that's the situation over here. You have the candles. The question is lighting near a Shabbos covered Shabbos and einig Shabbos, or is it just einig Shabbos? So this opinion that Tosfos held is just einig Shabbos. So you could be yotzei, as long as I have a candle, I can enjoy on Shabbos. Even if I lit it Friday for a different purpose, that should be good enough. We said that we paskin.
If I prepare the candles on Thursday or Wednesday or Monday, and I set them in the Shabbos lachta, right?
Azah yeka you are. Huh? You're already preparing it on Monday. What?
Almost after Tuesday.
You could be right, in theory. Yes. Right. But we're really not thinking about the following Shabbos till later on in the week, but yes. Yeah. The Gemara says that Beis Shammai would collect food all week long for the following Shabbos. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, a lot of Beis Shammai, it's not like
Yeah, so we pass, you know, here, with regards to Halakas Neir Shabbos, as we said, is a contradiction in the Rambam. Is it covered Shabbos? Is it Einig Shabbos? And we said that it seems to be both. At the same time, it seems to be there was at least one opinion in Tosis that it was only Einig Shabbos, not covered Shabbos. And even for us as well, this might have a ramification, because the Ramah says, if a woman forgets to light candles 1 week, that she's supposed to add a candle for the rest of her life moving forward as a penalty to remind her to light in the future. This is only if she forgets, by the way. If there's an onus, she's on her way late Friday and they don't get there in time in the winter time, and they have to park the car and walk, one of these mices that everybody has. So then she doesn't have to add a candle. There's no penalty for an onus. There's a penalty for forgetting. Some even say that's why we add a candle every time a person has a child. You add a candle is because mistama, at some point or another throughout the course of the pregnancy, she forgot to light Neir Shabbos once. So therefore, just as a institution, we have that every mother lights another candle that's for each child. I don't think that's the reason, no. But that's what they say. That's what they say. To make the mothers feel good. Anyway, but it says in the Poskim, Shmir Shabbos Kochasa and others, that nowadays when you come into the home, even if she'll forget to light Neir Shabbos, this doesn't apply in Yom Tov either. There's no penalty for forgetting Yom Tov. But even if she would forget, and she didn't light that Shabbos, where the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah says, he's supposed to add a candle as a penalty moving forward. But what if there are candles, there are lights in the home? They have the electric lights in the home. So it's not going to be an issue of shalom bias in the home. No one's going to trip over one another or be sitting in darkness. So even if you didn't have covered Shabbos, she didn't light candles or covered Shabbos, but there were candles or electric lights burning in the home, which you could be yoytzei. The mitzvah of Halakas Neir Shabbos, assuming they have some sort of glowing filament in them, like we're worried about the environment here. But if you would have bulbs that have filament, even if they'd be burning Friday early on in the day.
But even covered Shabbos, you have to turn the lights on.
But even if you don't have covered Shabbos, they were burning on the whole day. One opinion in Tosfos is, you're yotzei to the midst of Halakas Neir Shabbos with candles that were burning already, because all there is an obligation of Einig Shabbos, of enjoying on Shabbos the light. And here you had light in the home. See, even though we paskin l'chatchila, a person's supposed to have both covered Shabbos as well as Einig Shabbos, we would not levy the penalty on a woman who forgot to light Neir Shabbos, because at least there's candles burning in the home. So even though there's no covered Shabbos, that at least is Einig Shabbos. The electric lights, even though they save the woman from a penalty of if she forgets the light, that's why nowadays we really don't add candles for a woman who forgets. No one's sitting in darkness throughout the Shabbos. But at the same time, these electric lights, even if they save the woman from the potential penalty, they cause issues for us. They cause issues for us.
LED causes a problem. LEDs creates a problem for us in that respect.
Yes, because you can't be yotzei Neir Shabbos right. With LEDs or fluorescent
LEDs
bulbs.
LEDs create a problem.
Yeah. You have to have at least one or two.
I don't want to slip through on to stop it.
You could have argued that the whole purpose of Halakas Neir Shabbos is to have light in the home and to have shalom bayis. So in which case, you could have made this argument as well.
Right.
However, to the best of my knowledge, in the literature that addresses electric lights being used for Neir Shabbos, they all say it has to be as similar to a candle as possible. The mitzvah was articulated with regards to a candle. So if it's a burning filament, that can be argued that that's a fire on Shabbos, and that's the equivalent of an air. This is a light. This is a chemical reaction.
Correct, but
believe, to the best of my knowledge, in the literature that addresses the issue, no one argues that fluorescents are LEDs yet. However, the electric lights, even if they save a woman from perhaps the penalty of forgetting to light Neir Shabbos, they do create a different issue for us. And that is that we hold, again, it's covered and an egg. You have to light a candle for Shabbos in preparation for Shabbos, huh?
Why on the woman?
Oh, correct. whoever's lighting Nerev Shabbos in the home.
Man, is
I should have been correct. I should have been more...
Yes,
it is an obligation on the home, men as well as women. The women have the minhag to do it, but you're right. Correct. Ruben, correct. Yes. Right. They do create another issue for us, though. As we said, it's covered Shabbos. We should light a candle that's recognizable that you're doing so in preparation for Shabbos. But also, you have to enjoy the light on Shabbos, which implies that it has to provide us with some enjoyment. Shulchan Aruch says, if you're lighting the many women next to one another, so what enjoyment is being created, even though she's lighting candles in preparation for Shabbos? You have covered Shabbos, but it has to provide us with some enjoyment on Shabbos. That's Einik Shabbos. So what if a woman is lighting right next to somebody else who's lighting? So what are her candles adding to the situation? So the Shulchan Aruch's opinion is, if you have many women or many balabatim who are lighting candles next to one another, he quotes that perhaps you cannot make a bracha. That you cannot make a bracha. The Ramah says, we have the minig that even if you're lighting next to somebody else who's lighting Nerev Shabbos, you can make a bracha. Why? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, because at least you're contributing something. The candles add a little bit of light. It would be ideal to light in a separate place than everybody else, but even if you're lighting next to everybody, at least your candles add a little bit of light. It's marginal, but they add something. So you can make a bracha on that Tosefes R. The Shulchan Aruch held, you cannot make a bracha on Tosefes R, but the Ramah, the Ashkenazim, will make a bracha on candles that even lit next to somebody else.
So it's also a problem if you light and you're going out?
Correct. You have to enjoy the Neir Shabbos, yes.
Out, right?
Yes. So you should either wait there a little bit, that's many people have that minute.
Before Shabbos, it's probably before Shabbos.
You shouldn't leave then before Shabbos.
Shabbos comes in though, the minute you light. So
Shabbos comes in when you light. So you enjoy them for half an hour, 45
Shabbos
minutes.
Comes in when you light?
Yeah.
Not if you have, in other words, if you're
we'll get to in a second, correct? We'll get to in a second. But yeah, you should stick around a little bit to enjoy the candle somewhat, or have them burning when you come back. Correct. Yeah. But what about in a situation, huh? So what about in a hotel? So first of all, to light, we've talked about this in the past, but to light in the lobby, the person says a bracha levatola. In the lobby is nothing. Best would be to light in your room. If you have a suite with a kitchen and they'll let you light in the room, best to be with to light in your own private room. What if you don't have that situation? So then lighting in the lobby is nothing. So you light in the dining room. The problem is they set up one table with a million tea lights in the dining room. So the Deborah Tzina writes in his Shuvas Be'er Moshe, it's not ideal to light there. I guess you're adding some marginal light, maybe. But at that point, you're the two tea lights all the way in the back of 5,000 tea lights. I don't know what you're adding. So he recommends, as well as many other poskim, to take your tea lights and put them on your table or where you're sitting. And then you at least enjoy the light somewhat on Shabbos. The light in the middle of the table with everybody else. Yeah, yeah.
So the lobby is no good?
Huh?
The lobby is no good?
No. The brachah of hotel.
Take an electric.
For sure. I recommend anybody who's going to a hotel bring an electric or a night light. You have to let the woman light downstairs. You're never going to win that battle, but the electric night light in the room. Electric night light in the room.
Right about the light downstairs.
Huh? We'll get to it. But then there's another problem. The other problem, which is raised by Shlomo Zalman in the Shmir Shabbos.
She's anybody lighting this, have you been having in mind for both? When you
yes.
So when she lights downstairs, she's supposed to have in mind.
Correct. We'll get to that issue right now. Huh?
Something Russian.
I bring one, I light it on my own. What my wife does is her business. But the electric lights in the you can't win. The electric lights in the home, though, create a separate issue. Shomazam, the Shmir Shabbos, Kolchasa asked, but every one of our homes has electric lights, so what are we really adding by the Lucas Neir Shabbos? It's flooded with light. But the big chandeliers, the candles in the room, we really don't even add even marginal light. So Shlomo Zalman struggles with that. In the Shmir Shabbos, he's not sure how it is that we make a bracha on Halakas Neir Shabbos. So Sternbach writes in the Chuvas van Hoges, and it could be that it's a compelling argument if you think about it, and that is, even though we have electric lights in the home, the candles are a different type of light. You know, you go out to a restaurant, you sit with candlelight, it's a certain type of ambiance. And so too, the Halakas Neir Shabbos, the candles, the candelabra, and everything, is a different type of light. It's more refined. So perhaps we add, if not a qualitative light, but a quantitative, if not a quantitative, but qualitative light. It's a different type of light. However, if Shlomo Zalman recommends, and this is Rav Sternbach also, they also quote like this from Rav Moshe, that what you should do is turn off the electric lights, light Neir Shabbos, then turn on the electric lights and make the bracha on both. Or turn them off, and turn on the electric lights to cover Shabbos, and then light your candles as well, and make a bracha on both. Either way you go about it. But to turn on the electric lights, the covered Shabbos. What will you do then if it's Yom Tov Sheni, which we'll get to in a second? You cannot turn off the lights before you light. So Shlomo Zalman discusses in the Shmir Shabbos perhaps having the lights on the Shabbos clock, lighting that when you light the candle, the light should be off, and then the lights are turned back on after you already lit your candles lekavod Yom Tov. In which case, your lighting is adding light.
It's a perfect formula for fighting the home.
Huh? I have tried for 18 years to get my wife to turn off the lights and then turn them back on. The cover shower. She cannot, will not do it. So Lamaisa, what are you going to do?
I turn off the light. She turns it on. I tell her don't turn it on.
Okay, good. I can't fight so many fronts. So Lamaisa, I pick my battles. This is not it. But that's what the place can say. It's certainly ideal. What about lighting on Yom Tov? So we said that lighting on Shabbos, of course, is covered Shabbos, is both Einik Shabbos. What about on Yom Tov? So even though the pasuk says "V'karasa l'Shabbos oineg l'kdeish Hashem mechubad," you should call Shabbos of the light and honors Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam writes that applies on Yom Tov as well. The Rambam writes over here, Perek Vav Hilchos Yom Tov, "Kishem shemitzvah l'chabit Shabbos u'la'anga kach kol yomim tovim," because even though it says "V'karasa l'Shabbos oineg," it also says "V'karasa." Even though it mentions Shabbos, it also says "V'karasa," and Yom Tov is called "Mikra'i Kodesh," a day of calling. So since it mentions calling in the pasuk, Yom Tov is included as well. There is both a mitzvah of kavod as well as oinig, not only on Shabbos as well as on Yom Tov. However, are there differences, perhaps, in the way that we should go about lighting halakas neiros Shabbos vis-a-vis Shabbos as well as on Yom Tov? So the truth of the matter is, the Drisha, quotes in the name of his, the Drisha, is the same author as the Sma in Shulchan Aruch. So he has a Hakdama, the Drisha, of course, a commentary in the Torah, the Sma is a commentary in the Shulchan Aruch, and in the Hakdama to the Drisha was written by his son. He quotes in the name of his mother two things that women do wrong with regards to Halakas Neiros Yom Tov, that they assume is the same as Shabbos, but in fact they're different. The first thing that they do wrong is, when is a person supposed to light the candles? So we said, of course, on Shabbos, you really don't have an option. You have to light the candles before Shabbos. You cannot light them on Shabbos. You light them before Shabbos. And that's Kavod Shabbos. And then you enjoy them on Shabbos, and that's Oinig Shabbos. So, but on Yom Tov, where you can light the candles, at least on Yom Tov, so there are some women who light the candles on Yom Tov itself. So the Drisha quotes in the name of his mother, the son of the Drisha quotes in the name of his mother, which was the wife of the Drisha, the wife of the Sma, that the women are doing wrong. He says, "Yibitu na ra'u es masher gisha b'tos hanoshim ba'alokas neiros b'yamte v'ta'usam b'shtayim." He says his mother said that there were two mistakes that they do. The first is, we'll get to in a second, but the second is "hatos hasheni," on the fourth line, "masher nogos hanoshim lahadik neirosen shol yantif acher yitziyas mibeis ha'knesses l'beisam." They light after it's already Yontif. He says that that's improper. Why is that improper? To light already already once it's Yontif. So according to what we explained, it's obvious. And that is because even though you enjoy it on Yontif, all you get is Einig Yontif. You don't get covered Yontif. So therefore, she argued that it's better to light them before Yom Tov rather than lighting them on Yom Tov. Because then you could make the bracha on covered as well as on Yom Tov.
If Yom Tov's on a Sunday, and you put on your electric light or Shabbos, you have it in for both, you get on your Shabbos.
Nah, come on. They're separate things. Separate things. What are you going to do, though? On a Yom Tov Sheni? Yom Tov Sheni, you really have no other option. You're going to have to light on Yom Tov. So the truth here, it's not as perhaps as open and shut as we might think, because Tosfos writes in Masechtas Beya that a person can light Halakas Neiros Yom Tov on the first day of Yom Tov, even though we don't generally prepare from the first day of Yom Tov to the second. You can light Halakas Neiros for the second day already on the first day. Why? Because a person is allowed to prepare on the first day of Yom Tov. For the second day of Yom Tov, if he'll enjoy, let's say he wants to cook for the second day of Yom Tov, if he might eat the food on the first day of Yom Tov, then he is allowed to prepare. So Tosfos says, once it's already perhaps starting to get dark, it's after the Plaga Mincha, the sun is beginning to set, even though it hasn't set, it's totally, but it's getting darker, perhaps one can light the candles in preparation for the second day of Yom Tov already now, because he'll enjoy the light on the first day of Yom Tov.
You'll have cooking also.
You'll have cooking also.
They do cook. If you want to have soup, yeah, people heat up food.
Cook is somebody might come and eat before.
Someone might want to come and eat on Yontif, the first day of Yontif. So too, Taisa says, you're out to light on the first day of Yontif in preparation for the second, if already you're going to benefit from the lights now. So the Paiskim say, generally, this doesn't apply to us. Our lights, our rooms are flooded with light. We have to kvetch in. How do you light already once there's electric lights? So to start lighting on the first day in preparation for the second day, they say because, well, it's getting dark outside, but we really don't even need the lights in the room in the first place. So to do that, the Paiskim say we should not do that. Rather, you should light on the second day once it's already yontif. However, Shlomo Zalman says, according to his patent, according to his advice, that the lights go out with the Shabbos clock, and then they're going to turn on after Lachas Neira. So he says maybe then there is more room to argue that one should be allowed to light on the first day of Yontif in preparation for the second day, because it's already starting to get dark and his lights already went out with the Shabbos clock. They're only going to turn on after he already lit Halakas Neiris. And if you'll do that, you'll chop a ride, not only Einig Yontif, but you'll get covered Yontif as well. But either way, even though most of us on the second day Yontif are going to light already once it's Yontif, but on the first day Yontif, one should instruct the woman to light before Yontif rather than lighting on Yontif itself. Yeah? What do you want to say?
There is
such a minig because they're always running late, and anything you could push off to later, we push off to later. It's a minig of procrastination. That's an old minig, procrastination. But
in the last couple of years, we had Sandy's, all kinds of stuff in Lakewood, especially. Light went out a couple of times last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. There is something about having can't light it out.
It's so interesting you say that. Ramesha's solution, he says, what do we do about the electric lights? We don't need the candles light. So he says, you never know, the power might go out. That's what Ramesha says. So he says, even though it's rare, you never know.
Okay.
I thought it was a difficult argument. You're right. So one difference that the wife of the Sma argued, the woman making the mistake, is that they light the candles on Yontif, it would be better that they would light it before Yontif. And his argument is accepted by the Aruch HaShulchan, by the Chayei Adam, by Rav HaPaiskim, that's preferable. If a woman didn't do that, of course she could light on Yontif, but then all you get is Einig Yontif, not covered Yontif.
But is there a mitzvah?
Be better to light before.
Is there a mitzvah covered Yontif like covered Shabbos?
Yeah, that's what the Rambam says. They're both the same. Exactly the same.
Right.
However, there might be another mistake that she claims that the woman make is with regards. We'll get to her second mistake in a second. But there might be another difference between the mitzvah of Halakas Neiris and Yontif as well as on as opposed to Shabbos, and that is with regards to making the bracha. Taisus over back in Ois Vav has machlokes rishonim whether or not one is obligated to make a bracha on Halakas Neiris of Shabbos, even though the Gemara says it is an obligation. The Gemara never mentions an obligation to make a bracha. So Taisus quotes one opinion that you do not make a bracha on Halakas Neiris Shabbos. Because this is the first opinion in Taisus, if you'll have a candle that's burning from the middle of the day, in the middle of the day on Friday, you can be yotzei halakas neiros Shabbos without, even though you didn't light it in preparation for Shabbos. That was the opinion of Taisus, that all there is oinig Shabbos. There's no mitzvah of halakas neiros Shabbos to prepare the candles for Shabbos, just to enjoy them on Shabbos. So if you had a candle that was lit in the middle of the day on Friday, you could use that for halakas neiros Shabbos, be yotzei the mitzvah. So Taisus says, if you could be yotzei with a candle that's already lit, so then even when you light it for Shabbos, there should be no bracha. Why? Well, why does one follow from the other? Since you could be yoytzeh with a candle that's already lit, even if you light it to cover Shabbos, there should be no bracha. Why? So the stipler explains, because he feels all there is oinig Shabbos in terms of the obligation of halakas neiros. You can be yoytzeh with a candle that's already lit. So then lighting the candle is not the mitzvah. What is the mitzvah? Enjoying the light on Shabbos. Lighting the candle is no different than building a sukkah, than baking matzahs, than buying a dalaminim. That's not part of the mitzvah. So since it's not part of the mitzvah, you don't make a bracha on lighting the candle. All there is a mitzvah is to enjoy it on Shabbos. That's because perhaps you make a bracha on a hechsher mitzvah. You shall me a whole ganza tumo. But we don't make a bracha. We don't make a bracha on building a sukkah.
You go buy a lulav, you don't see.
We don't make a bracha. So we don't make a bracha either on the hechsher mitzvah of lighting the candles. All there is the mitzvah is to enjoy it on Yontif. The other opinion in Taisus disagrees. Not only says, can you not be yoytzeh with a candle that was lit in the middle of the day? You have to light the candle in preparation for Shabbos to be recognizable you're doing it for Shabbos. But then Taisus argues, even if it would be that you could be yoytzeh with a candle that was already lit in the middle of the day of Shabbos, even though it wasn't in the middle of the day of Friday, even though you didn't do some preparation for Shabbos, when you do it, for Shabbos, you should make a bracha. He says it's no different than the mitzvah of Kisei Adam, that when a person shechs a chayu or an oif, you have to cover over the blood. So the Gemara says, if the wind covers it over, you don't have to cover over the blood yourself. You can be yaitzeh with the fact that the wind covered it over. Nonetheless, the Gemara says, if you do it, you make a bracha. So even though if it would have happened by itself, you would have been yaitzeh, when you do it, you make a bracha. So too, argues Tosfos, even though it could have been yaitzeh, even if in theory it could have been yaitzeh with a candle that was lit in the middle of the day, when you light it in preparation for Shabbos, you should make a bracha. Because so the Stipler says, because there's not only a mitzvah of Oneg, this opinion in Tosfos is arguing, there's also a mitzvah of covered Shabbos and lighting the candles. Fine, so instead we said, we have the minhag of making a bracha on Halakas Neir Shabbos, and this follows with our general orientation, and that is that the mitzvah of Halakas Neir emanates both from covered Shabbos as well as Oneg Shabbos, not only a mitzvah to enjoy it on Shabbos, but also on Yontif, but also a mitzvah to light in preparation for Yontif, therefore you should do it Erev Yontif, and therefore also on Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, you make a bracha on the lighting. The lighting is not just a hechsher, a preparatory stage in order to allow you to enjoy the candles on Shabbos. It itself is a mitzvah to prepare the candles, to light the candles in preparation for Shabbos. But what about on Yontif? What about on Yontif? Should we also make a bracha on Halakas Neiros Yontif? So the Moshe of Zakenin from the Bali Atosis quotes one opinion. He quotes one opinion that yes, you do make a bracha on Halakas Neiros Yontif as well. Of course, that's our practice. But then he quotes in the Rabbeinu Tzarfas, you don't make a bracha on Halakas Neiros Yontif, even though they established why. Because even though they established, why should you make a bracha? Because of covered Shabbos. So since you can't light the candles on Shabbos, it's inevitable you're going to have to light them Erev Shabbos to prepare for Shabbos. So when they established the mitzvah midrabbanan of lighting Neiros Shabbos, they obviously did so, they included perhaps, that you have to prepare them for Shabbos, and it's also a fulfillment of covered Shabbos as well, because you have to do it on Friday. But Halakas Neiros Yontif, which you could do on Yontif itself, you can light a fire or transfer a fire on Yontif, so who's to say that it was included in covered Yontif? Maybe it was only included in the mitzvah of Oneg Yontif, because it's not inevitable that you have to light it, and we said it's preferable to light it Erev Yontif, but perhaps it was not included in the mitzvah of covered Yontif, because on Yontif, you could light it on Yontif itself. So therefore, there's one opinion in the Rabbeinu Tzarfas that no, the never on Yontif, since you can light the candles, and can't be Yontif, she'echon lahadlik, ein levarech, she'ein tzor shalom beisai, they never include in the mitzvah of preparing for Yontif, because you could light it on Yontif itself. You don't have to light it on Erev Yontif. And since you don't have to light it on Erev Yontif, it's just a mitzvah of Oneg Yontif, all there is a mitzvah to enjoy the light, not to actually light the candles in the first place. So in which case, perhaps there is no bracha. Again, we said, we paskin, that of course we know, we make a bracha on Halakas Neiros Yontif as well as Halakas Neiros Shabbos. It is both covered Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos, as well as covered Yontif and Oneg Yontif. But when should you make this bracha? So when do we typically make the bracha of Halakas Neiros Shabbos? So the Rambam writes, if you look back at Ois Gimel, the Rambam writes, the second line, V'chayv levarech kodem halakha, you make the bracha before you light, like every bracha that you make, every mitzvah, you make the bracha over lasiyas, you make the bracha on the tefillin before you put it on, the talis before you put it on. So to here, you're supposed to make the bracha before you do it. However, the Rishonim quote in the name of the Bahag that you cannot do it here. Even though that should be what you should do, make the bracha before you light, you cannot do it by Halakas Neiros Shabbos. Why? Because the opinion of the Bahag was, once you make the bracha of Lahadlik Neir Shel Shabbos, you already accepted Shabbos. It's already an acceptance of Shabbos. Once you accepted Shabbos, you can no longer light. The Rishonim quote this on the Gemara that we mentioned earlier, that if you only have enough money to buy Neiros Shabbos, and Neiros Chanukah, you should buy Neiros Shabbos because Shalom Bayis is Adif. So that's how the Rashi interprets the Gemara. However, the Ramban interprets that Gemara to mean, which should you do first, Neiros Shabbos or Neiros Chanukah on Shabbos Chanukah? So he interprets the Gemara to say, you should light Neiros Shabbos first, Neiros Shabbos Adif, then Neiros Chanukah. Because Tadir, Vishaino Tadir Kaidim, that which comes regularly takes precedence. So first Neiros Shabbos, then Neiros Chanukah. Then the Ramban quotes in the name of the Bahag that you can't do that. Because once you light Neiros Shabbos, you have to accept Shabbos at that time, and you can no longer light Neiros Chanukah afterwards. The Bahag felt you can't even make a condition. You can't even have in mind to say, well, I'm not going to accept Shabbos now. The Bahag felt it was against your will. It was a Kabbalah Shabbos, Bal Karcha, against your will, for everybody in the home. That was the opinion of the Bahag.
So that's also with Kavod.
So that was the opinion of the Bahag. That was the opinion. What do you mean, turn the lights back on? No, no. We'll get to our practice in a second, okay? So because the Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion of the Bahag that when you make the bracha, when you light candles, that's considered to be a Kabbalah Shabbos for everybody against your will. And then he already starts hedging. He says, V'yesh Oimrim, the end of the first line, Shemas Nekoidim Shedlika Shedim Kabbalah Shabbos, that works. You can make a Tanai, a condition that you're not going to accept Shabbos. And then he quotes others who say that the condition doesn't work. And then he says, quotes others, V'yesh chokim al bal halachas gedolos. In the second line, there are those who disagree with this entire Bahag, that halachas neir Shabbos does not signal Kabbalah Shabbos. Kabbalah Shabbos is signaled that Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. That's why many of the minig to stand by Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, because that was the official time of Kabbalah Shabbos. The Ramah says, everyone argues nowadays we're not accepting Shabbos then, but that would be maintained, many maintain that minute. The Ramah, though, is chayshish for the opinion of the Bahag, that when a person makes the bracha of Halakas Neir Shabbos, or when he lights candles, he is accepting Shabbos. So therefore the Ramah writes, this is not the practice by the Sfardim, but this is what the Ramah writes for the Ashkenazim, over here, Oysu Gimel, Yesh Mishayimish Mevarchin Kaidim Halakah. So there are those who say you make the bracha before halakha because they don't paskin like the Bahag, that making the bracha of halakha near Shabbos is not considered, does not automatically signal Kabbalah Shabbos, and therefore you can light the candles after the bracha. But then he says, Yesh Mishayimish Mevarech Acher Halakha. You can't make the bracha before, that's a Kabbalah Shabbos. You have to make the bracha after you light. Even though that's not ideal with regards to Birchas HaMitzvah, you have no other choice here. So what should you do? You cover your eyes, you're not benefiting from the light. You light the candles, you cover your eyes, then you make the bracha afterwards. You can make b'diavad or Birchas HaMitzvah afterwards. And that's the practice by all of the Ashkenazi women. So with regards to electric lights, what you should do is light the candles, light the electric lights, cover your eyes, and make the bracha. That's what you should do.
So before the Rambam came along.
Or turn off the lights, 1 second. Turn off the lights, turn back on the electric lights, then the Neir Shabbos, then cover your eyes, however you want to do it. Yeah?
But you can't cover your eyes on the electric
light. Make the bracha afterwards. Must be. You have no other choice. Can't make the bracha before. That's a Kabbalah Shabbos. But what do you do on Yontif? So on Yontif, you can even if you accept Yontif, you can light the candles afterwards. So that was the practice of many women, was to light the candle, many women, they'll continue the practice from Shabbos, and they continue to light the candles first, cover their eyes, and then make the bracha of Halakas Neiros on Yontif. So that was the second ha'ara of the wife of the Drisha, the wife of the Sma, was that the women are doing wrong here. Because really, ideally, you're supposed to make a Birchas HaMitzvah over La'asiyos, so they should have made the bracha before, and then lit. We can't do it on Erev Shabbos, because once you make the bracha, you already accepted Shabbos. But on Yontif, they should do that. They should go back to the other procedure, the proper procedure, which is making the bracha before Hadaka. And that was accepted by Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Dagon Mervava. Everyone signed on to this psak of the wife of the Sma. However, the Mishnah Brura quotes in the name of the Magen Avraham that the woman can't handle this kind of muching. So that's why he says, don't muchy them. If you're accepting Shabbos now, you're not accepting Shabbos now. So the Magen Avraham says, let them do whatever they do normally and make the bracha afterwards. However, I think a woman can't handle a little bit of this much. You can muchy them. On Yontif, they should make the bracha first. So those two differences of the wife, those two ha'aras of the wife of the Sma, the Drisha, we do accept. That is that they should light on Yontif, on Erev Yontif, the first day of Yontif at least, Erev Yontif, and that they should make the bracha before the halacha, different from Shabbos. One final ha'aras, what do you do about the bracha of Shechianu? So we know of the practice of making Shechianu in conjunction with the Kaish Shal Kiddush, but the Gemara says in Masechtas Erevin that that's not necessarily the case. You don't have to do it that way. Zman Omer Afilu Bashuk. You could say it, and you don't have to say it in conjunction with a Kaish. You could say Shechianu even when it's not together with a Kaish. So many women had the practice of saying Shechianu together with Halakas Neiros Yontif. So Leket Yoisha, who is the Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshen, writes he never, heard of this from his Rebbe, the Trumas Hadeshen, and in fact, or as Aruah quotes in the name of Yushalmi, that you shouldn't do it in conjunction with the Neir Shabbos. There's no reason to do it. Not that we have a reason to be opposed to it, but there was no source for this. It has nothing to do with Neir Shabbos. Rather, you should do it in conjunction with the Kiddush when we're going to be Makadish Yontif, make the Brach of Shechianu on the Yontif as well, over the Kaisho Kiddush. So the Mishnah Brura writes, over here, in the name, look back, Oitzi Gimel, the third line, Ain Tzarch Levarech Zmano Hadlaka, you don't have to make Shechianu with the Hadlaka, but if that's the minik, Ain Limchaz Biyadhan, you don't have to make a Macha against the women who do say Shechianu, there's no reason to be opposed to it necessarily, but there's no reason to do it. So if a woman doesn't have that minig, you shouldn't tell her to do it. If she has the minig, you don't have to be opposed to it to make her stop it. However, the Brisker Rav asks, one minute, the husband is now going to make Kiddush, and he's going to make a Shechiyonu at his Kiddush. If the wife answers Amen, that's a hefzik in the middle of the Boyer Priya Gofen and the drinking of the wine. So that's going to be a hefzik in the middle of the Kiddush. So for him, the Shechiyonu is on the Yomtif, it's not a hefzik. For her, that she already made a Shechiyonu on the nearest Yomtif, now the answering Amen is going to be a hefzik. So therefore, Brisker Rav and Rabbi Avadia has this in Yechav Adas recommended that any woman who makes a Shechiyonu on her nearest Yomtif, that's fine, but they should not answer Amen to the husband's brach of Shechiyonu by Kiddush. But Rav Maisha writes in Igros Maisha that perhaps she doesn't have to do that. She can answer Amen. Because Rav Maisha claims that Hefzik is a great big Kiddush, Rav Maisha, as he tries, goes at length to prove it, that Hefzik is not determined based on the person who's answering the bracha. Hefzik is determined by the person who's making the bracha. So therefore, since the husband has reason to make the Shechiyonu for himself, the wife could also answer Amen, because it's not considered to be a Hefzik verse, and she's only answering Amen after the husband who has a reason to make it. Everyone should have a good Yom Tov Chag Kosher v'Sameach. Don't get you to win. Don't need to.